Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. It's Monday evening. We are three astrologers making astrology accessible to all our listeners and to all of the listeners who email us. We've got a few of those, and so we'll deal with some questions by email. And I am Mark Waltz, speaking to you from New York City, Manhattan, and my two colleagues are...
I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm from the Upper East Side of Manhattan at my bright red desk.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from fog-bound North Dakota, where the fog has been encasing us with the snow as the snow begins to melt for about a week now. It's been like walking through cotton wool. And I think it's part of Mars taking its station. There's a lot holding still this week, not making the progress that we would like, because Mars is asking us to just stop, hold still, and take a deep breath before we progress.
Before we leap forward into the future. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the news of the week.
Yeah. So Venus and Aries is not so happy about that. Go ahead. Yeah, I think when Venus went into Aries, was it Sunday, I could feel that I was no longer patient with everything holding still. So it wasn't that anything changed, it's just that I had less patience with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the beginning of the spring cycle. You know, we've had this huge lineup in Pisces.
Yeah, the Pisces water.
Huge. And it's been wonderful for, you know, dwelling in the depths of emotional. I'm getting ready to move, so I'm going through all my old files, and I'm walking with my memories and all my old ghosts. Great time for the Pisces. But that Venus went into Aries, and suddenly, enough with it. Let's hurry up. Let's get on with it. Let's get going. But the circumstances are not allowing that yet. But the first move is that impulse for freshness, for change, for the next year.
We kind of leap off into the night. So. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, what's your favorite thing about the week ahead?
Well, the Mars station is really good, and I'm always glad to see that. And it's kind of funny that it's at zero Leo. You know, it decided to spend all this time in Leo because, you know, it came into Leo and stopped after a while and went back. And didn't go back out of Leo. Said, "I'm staying in Leo.
No
more Cancer." Right? And now it turns around and spends the next few months in Leo again.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we're meant to deal with Mars in Leo this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good spot for Mars, in fact. You know, any of the fire signs are good for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo's one of them. And it gives Mars a lot of heart. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And Mars is trining Venus all week.
Sorry?
Mm-hmm. I said, and Mars is trining Venus all week as it
invasions. Yes, because Venus just went into another fire sign, Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trined. And that's always nice, Venus-Mars trine. Good thing to take advantage of. So the masculine and feminine are in harmony with each other. And also feeling that fire energy. So there's an excitement and warmth.
And a passion to them, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which is good.
And when things are going well, they go very well, you know. And it just adds a lot of emotional torque to anything we feel. So we can be passionately mad, passionately private, passionately excited, passionately connected. But it starts bringing us to, you know, with Venus and Mars, both in extroverted signs now, our ability to reach out and connect with the world, you know, gets cranked up. And if we've had something, pulls us out of our burrow, out of our cocoon, and encourages us to connect.
Yeah. I think the
Oscars, as Mars took the station in Leo, was a perfect example. It was like letting people shine in their own glory, not going anywhere in particular, not moving particularly fast, but boy, were they dressed well for the process.
Oh, for the Academy Awards, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I think the thing I've been noticing about it is the anger buildup, at least mm-hmm. in my world. People being very cranky because Mars is stuck. And that will all shift this week. But there is kind of a interesting energy going on because Venus, when she enters into the new sign of Aries, is going to first off oppose Saturn, and then she's going to square Pluto. And she's straddling them as Mars stops trying to her on Wednesday. So she squares Saturn Tuesday, and then Mars stops, and then she's opposes Saturn Tuesday, then Mars stops, and then she squares Pluto. So she's kind of in a place to be frustrated, where what she wants, she might not be getting, but she's getting something because there's the trine from Mars, or at least she's getting the vision of what might be coming in, maybe is a better way to say it. So I think when that happens, the recognizing that in the week ahead there may be some frustration because of the planets being stopped dead in the sky, and the square and the opposition, but it also is a foretaste of what's going to come this summer when we get to the cardinal cross, when the T-square forms with Uranus and Jupiter in that position, because she's there first. She's kind of like the messenger. And she's going in and she's saying, okay, I'm looking to change this a little here. And then it's like, okay, what are you going to change it to? She goes, well, I don't really know, but I think it needs to be changed. And so that energy of I think it needs to be changed, but I don't really know what I'm changing it to is going to be kind of prominent this week. Because the sense of frustration will be up, but the where it's actually going to go to, we don't really know yet. But once Mars starts to go direct, he'll say, okay, now we know where we're going. We're going to go this way. And everybody's going to go, really? And he's going to go, yeah, come on. And then he goes through Leo one more time, tracing his steps yet again, and saying to us, do you remember what you said you wanted? Okay, how close is this? And we're all in charge of saying, no, this isn't really what I want. But you know what I would like is bup, 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 whatever that is. I think it's a really great opportunity for defining what we're looking for. And it just feels so much like the energy is about, well, what is it you're actually looking for? And if we can answer that question or some semblance thereof, then we can really figure out how to work with the energy productively.
But it's going to be interesting. I've noticed when Mars goes direct after it's been retrograde, often schemes or problems, you know, it's not only everything that we want to do that finally gets the green light and gets the energy behind it, but I've noticed sometimes, bombings or terrorist attacks or robberies that happen that people have been planning for a while, and now they get the green light as well. And so it's a release of energy of all types.
Yes.
And so on. And Mercury sesquisquares Mars the night before, then Mars turns direct on Thursday. So, you know, kind of keep an eye on what's going on at the moment. As Venus also squares Pluto and opposes Saturn this week as she gets going in Aries, there's some emotional complications. And it can be that we're so aware of what we've lost that fights erupt very easily. Or we're so aware of what we lost, it's hard to get our energy up. You know, and are so aware of something that's blocking what we want that we can get frustrated and take that out backwards or just feel exhausted. You know, because some people will, you know, kind of implode and some people explode. Much better we pull out our paint supplies, just go for it, and go work out at the gym and, you know, use that energy. Just notice that the energy is swirling, because when planets change directions, we feel like suddenly it's been stirred, the pot's been stirred in one direction, it starts getting stirred backwards. And sometimes we see as Mars turns direct, what people have been resenting all along begins to come forward. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Senate and what happens with the health care bill as Mars turns direct. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of... Well, Mars in Leo has been so full of bluster and so full of aggrandizement and stuck in their own positions. It's not an easy time to negotiate. You can gently manipulate, but it's a hard time to negotiate a mid-ground because people tend to bluster and hold on to their positions. They can do wonderful romantic things and feel generous. If you can convince them that it's the generous right thing to do, then they might cooperate, but it's not an easy time to deal with opposition. But as Mars goes direct, you're going to hear a lot of opinions coming out this week, and then we may see some work happening next week. But I have a feeling that it's a wild card week. I'd say, it's a great week to avoid your ex-husbands or anybody that you might have a long-standing tension with. Just deal with them next week, not this one, and let the extra charge build up elsewhere. I mean, you'd be discharged elsewhere rather than someplace that's tender to you. If you're feeling a frustration or you're feeling exhausted, it may be because you really are frustrated rather than exhausted. If you're feeling that frustration, to breathe into it, to have patience that it will change quickly or soon, and do take good care of yourself in the process. Luckily that Venus and Mars are trine, so the people are, the people that we're not having direct fights with, we might also be having a good friendship, good sparks with new people that we don't have any history with, passionate involvement on a good side as well as this tension and energy on the other side. Mark, do you have any more comments on that?
No, not really. I just actually was looking at the new moon coming up on Monday, a week from today.
Yes, tell us what you see in that.
Well, that's coming
quite a new moon,
toward
isn't it?
It's coming toward the end of Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
We have the sun and moon meeting up in 25 Pisces. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of energy all over on that side of the chart in Pisces and Aries. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of energy that way. And we're getting this opposition forming again between Saturn and Uranus, kind of sneaking in there. And let's see what else is going on. And then we have Mars definitely moving forward again, but still in zero Leo. So still a degree of its station. So we're still going to be feeling that energy and that he accepted it facing forward. It's not really making a lot of progress yet at that time, but it's at least turned around and facing straight ahead. And Venus has moved on pretty strongly. It's already at 10 degrees Aries by the time of the new moon on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving quickly.
Yeah, she's really working.
Yeah, that means, with the Venus, that we're heading into the dark of the moon in Pisces this coming weekend. And that really is a review of all of our old dreams and getting ready and all of our old dysfunctional behaviors and everywhere we feel so overly connected with the, Pisces kind of both reveals to us that we are all interconnected. And sometimes it seems that it makes it hard to know where we begin and another person ends. So it's moving in that the spiritual sense of connection, which can then move into psychological dysfunction if we're processing other people's problems. So it's, finding your center rather than focusing on the edges this weekend. But in that sense of connection, really hearing your own voice, what do you need, and let that be part of the mix. Because next week we move into a high action time. But that dark of the moon in Pisces, a review of the dream, a time to sit with the spiritual process, time to intuit, do divination, paint yourself away.
It's interesting because I signed up for a certification course in Reiki this weekend, so I hadn't thought of it that way as a divination.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's like a,
That is a great example of, we are all one is the basis of the Reiki energy.
Yeah, so and I was kind of been meaning to do it, and it was like, okay, here's a class, and it's with a woman who she does really good Reiki, so I thought I'll take it with her. And so that's good. I'm signed up for, I didn't even look at the aspects, just said put me in. So I think I'm getting to be a rather rambunctious astrologer, going rogue on myself. Don't even look, just sign up and do things.
Well, you know, it's funny, is you do it and then you see, oh, that's why I did it.
That's why I did it. Oh, that's what called me, yeah. So I think the other part of it is there's a lot of stuff this week about seeing our patterns. There's a lot of aspects to Pallas Athena, who is the pattern maker, and who also sees strategically where things are going. And so one of her gifts is she points out to us where you are connecting and where you're repeating yourself. So the other part with being in the dark of the moon energy, as we have the Mars station, is it's going to bring up for us stuff that we need to look at and clear, but it also is going to help us see our underlying patterns about why we do it. You know, I think we forget a lot of times that there's a payoff in stuff, at least I do, you know, and I look to see, well, what's my payoff in this, in the sense of why am I doing this behavior? You know, and I had a conversation earlier today with somebody about, well, there's a reason why you're doing it. It gets you something. And it's like, you know, I always forget that there's something in it for me. Either, you know, it might not be a motivation that's really I want to have rewarded anymore, but it worked for a long time. And if it worked for a long time, then, okay, what's the new motivation and how does the new motivation, what's the new motivation for me doing it? So I think that's the other part here with the Mars station and Venus being so frustrated because she's getting no from Saturn and Pluto. And Mars is saying to her, honeybee, you know, what is it you want? And she's like, rah, rah, rah. And, you know, it's like, okay, give it permission to really speak what it wants and then see what the pattern is. You know, see the repetitive nature of the thing you're doing over and over again. Instead of doing it over and again, look at it from a different perspective. And I think that's part of the, you know, that's part of the story here, too. It's like, well, how can we change it up if we're not willing to let go of the old behaviors or let go of the old reinforced behaviors? Because in many cases, they were reinforced, too. You know, we were happy with them. They worked for us for a long, long time. And now it's like, okay, do you want to keep it anymore? Is it still working for you the way it used to? And I think if we ask ourselves that question, it'll help a lot in clarifying what it is we want to keep and what we want to let go of. So when you're going through those piles of papers, Heather, as you get ready to move, is this going to serve me? Am I going to use this, or am I going to move it from house to house? Because you've had so many moves, you really have shed, I would imagine, a lot of
this
stuff.
Yeah, I have shed and shed and shed. I'm down to, you know, a box of memories here and a box of memories there.
Yeah. Because it's a lot to move stuff.
And, you know, the trouble is you tend not to throw anything away between moves because you're sure that, you know, the move will take care of it. But we have some interesting emails that came in this week and some interesting cases. So do we have anything else we want to say about the week ahead before?
I think just the quick on the moons. The moon is in Capricorn today, tomorrow, and until 5 o'clock on Wednesday with a closing aspect of a sextile to Uranus, which is a positive aspect for kind of changing and creating things and moving things along. And then it's void in the evening on Wednesday, Eastern time, of course, adjust for your local time zone. It goes into Aquarius Thursday, Friday, and it goes void bright and early Saturday morning with a conjunction to Neptune. Again, nice aspects, a nice closing aspect. Then it goes into Pisces in the afternoon on Saturday, and it's in Pisces on Sunday, and it goes void at 8 o'clock on the new moon on Monday the 15th, and daylight savings time is this week. Yay. And we also have a conjunction, positive aspect, again, closing. We've really been working with a lot of really positive closing aspects, which in electional work mean that if you're picking a day to get things out the door or do things, these are really good aspects to kind of make changes or start projects or get things rolling, you know. So there's a lot of really positive.
That's the great
thing
about Pluto being at the early degrees of a sign.
Yes. It's like, yay, positive, positive. So, yeah, so it's forward we go. So that's all for the week, I think, you know, in the Mars station of recognizing that the anger. Oh, I had one client say to me, her daughter said to her, you know, Mom, anger is a secondary emotion. And she kind of looked at her kid and she went, what? And she goes, anger is a secondary emotion. I was looking it up on the internet. And, you know, so when you have anger, think about the emotion that was triggered immediately before it. That's the trick. And I was like, ooh, smart kid. Kid's 15 years old. Of course, she's like five planets in Scorpio, so.
And saying it to bait Mom, not necessarily anything else at 15.
Yes, yes, but it was true. You know, it was like,
and,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And baiting is a tertiary feeling.
Yes, totally.
Yes. But It's yes, and that is definitely the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have, yes, you know, you're right, that's Mars and Leo protecting all that Pisces sensitivity.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because the primary emotion is pain or fear of pain, which is anxiety, and how much and all the permutations that we do to avoid that
right.
are really clear this week.
Yeah, we're going to see them. Dancing in front of our faces, singing and dancing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Love that. So the question we had was from someone who had is connected to work-wise to Elliot Spitzer and a man who wrote a book about Elliot Spitzer this week, Lloyd Constantine. Apparently a book just came out by Elliot Spitzer's former mentor and chief advisor, Lloyd Constantine, called, you know, A Year of Plague, and it where he toasts Elliot Spitzer. And the question was, why did these people like each other so much and now hate each other? And why? Where is the rancor coming? And so it's an interesting case. We have the ask that the and the birth information. This is unconfirmed by me, but it came from a good source. Elliot Spitzer was given as June 10th, 1959, at 9:47 p.m. in Bronx, New York. And Lloyd Constantine, who wrote the book, another Gemini, May 27th, 1947, at 6 a.m. in New York City.
Okay.
For those people who are astrologically prone and would like to do along.
Like to follow, follow along at home.
Follow along at home. And, you know, it was really interesting to see Elliot Spitzer's chart, and because I always, you know, I still like him. And I see that his moon and mine are close to conjunct. Mine is within 2 degrees of his. His moon is in Aries with his Mars conjunct his moon in Aries, which is sort of like a double moon in Aries.
His moon is in Aries,
moon
or
Aries
Leo?
Is not very, but
Aries or Leo?
June 10th, 59. Oh, you're right. I had the wrong year.
Okay.
Oh,
no, just check
that.
Yeah.
As I'm doing and as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at Aries going, I've got
oh,
Leo.
You're right. Moon and Leo, much worse. But it's the same. Okay, his moon is still conjunct Mars,
mm-hmm.
But it's in Leo. Conjunct Venus in Leo, which is the Venus-Mars conjunct can, you know, get themselves into a lot of trouble romantically. But it's the Moon-Mars conjunction with Uranus, I see real impulse control problems with him. And, you know, that connection can be so good at shooting from the hip and doing it. I'm sorry he wasn't at the other chart. I like the other chart much better than I do this one. This one, you know, needs ego support so badly. And that's where I see all the extra women in his life,
mm-hmm.
is the ego support. You know, you can see with his Mars-Venus conjunct in the seventh house and his Moon-Uranus-Pluto in the eighth that he was, you know, all in other people's faces about what they were doing wrong, but he was too susceptible to being loved. With that Saturn on his ascendant in Capricorn, he looks older and more serious than in many ways he really is. Now, Lloyd has his Venus and Mars conjunct in Taurus, square Elliot's. They both have Venus and Mars conjunct. They both have it at right angles to one another.
Right.
So that can be a real love-hate relationship. And when they get along, they, you know, they know how to argue together, and they know how to argue with each other, and they speak each other's language. But the fury, but when they square off, they really square off. And Lloyd's moon is in Virgo, close to Elliot's Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon in Virgo trines Lloyd's Venus and Mars in Taurus. And I think the Venus and Mars in Taurus is as sensual as, but it's less addictive. That Venus and Mars and Leo can be really addictive. In other words, its hunger is never really fed because it's not for sex, it's for ego support.
Mm-hmm.
And someone with that combination does not have to do this. But should they do that, they would not find what they were looking for. And because every aspect, it's always up to the person. There's nothing in a chart that predestines someone to misuse their aspects. But we can see They could have used it one way, or they could use it another. That's also the part of him that enjoyed being a highly visible, you know, speaker for good causes. But it would make his ego tend be the weak point. And it looks to me like Lloyd had the same sensuality, but Taurus tends to be loyal. And the moon in Virgo would really hate being attached to a public sex scandal. Hate it. So you see so much connection between these two charts, but you could also see that when it goes wrong, there wouldn't be much room for forgiveness.
Right.
And it would turn quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other thing is they both are Saturn-Pluto aspects. So mm-hmm. Lloyd has a Saturn-Pluto in Leo that says, respect me, honor me, take care of me. Mm-hmm. And Elliot has the trine in Earth saying, I'm going to go build things and do things. And that moon, mm-hmm. Virgo, I mean, I've got Lloyd as 6 in the morning. So he's got that Mars-Venus behind mm-hmm. the scene in the 12th. Mm-hmm. So there's a thing in there about being a fixer or somehow mm-hmm. owning you. And Lloyd is born in an eclipse because he's born with the sun on the north node. So he's got the good father. They both have good father, bad father with that sun in Gemini.
Yes,
and I think
do.
On some level, Lloyd fancied himself to be Elliot's father. And mm-hmm. essentially we had the father killing off, the son killing off the father.
Very right.
And now, and Lloyd as a, you know,
a
Gemini rising. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like him saying, you know, I had all this power because I was the power behind the throne. And then the young kid didn't listen to me. So it's also kind of a little bit of an, you know, because Lloyd's kind of quirky, too, with the Mercury-Uranus, right? Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, that Mercury...
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant, but quirky. So he's kind of like a Daedalus figure where he says, look, kid, mm-hmm. you know, I'll tell you how to do it, but you got to do it my way. And Elliot was a little bit of an Icarus where he said, mm-hmm. I'm going to fly however I want. Leave me alone. And I would imagine that there was something... Right, and it's interesting because now Mars is on the Saturn-Pluto. Coming, Mars and Leo is coming back over that. There was this, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't have to listen to you energy. And it worked for a really long time, but then it got to the point where, no, I'm free. I don't have to take advice from you anymore. And at that point, I would imagine the relationship soured. I'd be curious to know if... It didn't sour before because Elliot was having trouble with all of his authority figures.
Yeah, apparently it did.
And Lloyd would have been one of his father figures. So now that I'm the governor, I don't need to listen to you anymore. I know what I'm doing. And
right.
So he was kind of thrown aside, which with his chart would make him very querulant and vengeful. Because mm-hmm. that yep. Saturn-Pluto in Leo wants to be respected for its advice and wise counsel. And
in
it's in
house.
The third house, yeah. So he's like, I'm telling you how to do it, kid. And Elliot's not listening, you know. And so go ahead, fly too high and burn your wings. Now I'm going to tell you all the things you did wrong.
Right.
And I, you know, I just kind of think, you know, we have that with, what's his name? The, who's that guy? The one that was working for John Edwards saying, oh, yeah, I said I'd have his baby. You know, I lied to Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. I did all this stuff. And I'm going to imagine this guy's going to come off pretty badly in the book in the sense mm-hmm. of a little bit of sour grapes or a little bit of I didn't, you know, I told you how to do it, kid, and you didn't. You didn't listen
right.
to me. You didn't listen to the wise old guy.
I have a feeling that he's so busy distancing himself from this guy that he's going to look like himself in you know, his own vinegar will come across.
Yes, yes, yes. Because that Saturn, Pluto, and Leo can be very biting when it's mm-hmm. not pleased with you. Not when you're not honoring it enough, it can really get vicious in terms of its behavior. Having run into it a few times in people and gone, shit, man, you really just ripped me a new one, didn't you? it's a mean aspect, mm-hmm. so, or it can be a mean aspect if it's being what it perceives as being disrespected. And in his case, if you didn't follow his advice, you were disrespecting him. So, Mark?
Yes.
Is he there?
Mark, do you have anything to comment on that?
Oh, not yet. I'm still actually setting up these charts.
Oh, okay.
Do we have anybody on the line? We have one more caller that wrote in and would like to have us talk about her chart. But let's see if we've got anybody
we
live.
We do,
on
and we can put guest call-in number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881, and we do have a 646 caller, so let's see if
And Mark, we'll come back to that chart. We'll tie back in at the end.
Hello, 646, are you there?
Hello.
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 Hi.
Yes, can we help you?
Oh, yes, can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I just called. My boyfriend's actually downstairs. He went to smoke a cigarette, so I'll give you his chart numbers.
Good.
His birthday is 4/11/77. He was born at 11:35 p.m.
4/11/77, 11:35 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where?
Oh, Chicago, Illinois.
And what's his first name?
Christian.
Christian, okay. Just because my computer doesn't take blank. It needs a name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Now I have my phone upside down. Sorry. Can you hear me better now?
I can. Much better. And 11:35. And did Christian have any particular questions?
He's definitely going through a big transition right now, but things are better in the last couple of months. Transition of sobriety, a transition of just trying to get his life back together, get on his feet again. So I think it's kind of, hopefully he'll come upstairs in 2 seconds. I think he just kind of wanted to know, I mean, obviously this is recorded so I can listen to it again, but we can download it. But he just wants maybe some advice to, you know, how to continue get through this hard time, and if there's any sort of way to aspects that you could say, things that he could work on or reasons why things are based on this chart, you know, any advice really.
Well, he's really coming into his own. But it's been a long haul. I see that his progressed moon it is at 21 Aries at the moment, and it's conjuncting his natal sun. So it looks to me like this month, next month, and the month after that, it's really his focus on what brings me alive. You know, what do I want to do? You know, the I am principle of Aries, that when spring comes, he's really coming back alive, if he wants to. Trying to figure out what to do with himself. He always goes back and forth. His Mars in Leo, which I think is a part of him that tends to feel victimized, overwhelmed, and wants to escape, and doesn't know how to move forward, has been under such pressure, it's been really shaken up over, you know, the last couple of years as Uranus went back and forth over it. And right now, some of his old demons or his old cravings might be bothering him as this lineup in Pisces, five planets, has been hovering on his Mars in Pisces. And
he has Mars. I think does he have Mars in Leo or Mars in Pisces?
Mars in Pisces. Do I have him down as 4/11/77?
Yeah. No, I just thought you said Mars in Leo, but maybe
no,
I don't.
Mars
that's now.
Mars in Pisces.
He has Mars
he
in Pisces natally, but he has Mars in Leo right now has been going in his eighth house, asking him to, picking on his Saturn, picking on the childhood story from when he was around 8 or 9, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a father story that's pretty serious. And
oh, really?
Yeah, well,
that makes sense.
His
dad's
sick
right now.
Yeah, he was born on the day that Saturn stopped in the sky. So there's like 3 days a year that Saturn stopped. So he's, you know, 3 days out of 365 days, he's kind of got a rare chart that way. And Saturn in the eighth, opposite his moon in Aquarius, it gives him trouble sometimes really knowing what he needs, or knowing emotionally what he needs, maybe is a better way to do it. So then he does behaviors that kind of does behaviors that kind of cause him a little more trouble than maybe than he should be doing, is the best way to say it. He kind of gets depressed or sad or feels blue or whatever. And I would say the drugs and alcohol are his medication for that sadness.
With that Neptune in the 12th house.
Yeah.
He's rising. Got a strong intuitive side that I don't know if he's found a place for. He needs a philosophy and a spirituality that supports him, because he needs magic in his life, and he needs to tune into something bigger than himself and a cause he believes in and connection. And if he doesn't, he gets hungry for, you know, the mundane world just drives him nuts.
No, he's a deep thinker.
He's what?
Yeah.
He's definitely a deep thinker, and he's, yeah.
Well, I say on the other side of that, he tends to disrespect the daily. You know, he's kind of a little addicted to the deep thinking and kind of dismissive of the ordinary. He has to see, if he can begin to see the deep thinking and the sacred in everyday life, he begins to develop more stability. But he tends to go to extremes. Doesn't matter which, as long as it's intense. It also looks like he had, tagging on to what Anne said about that Saturn station, which I hadn't picked up on. It's so key. He really rebels against authority. But now that he's moving into a time when it's time for him to take on his own authority, he doesn't have a model of authority that he respects enough to step into. So really looking at people who are using their maturity and authority in a way he respects and sees as dynamic and exciting gives him some way to step into it. Because if you're rebelling against authority and you always have your father issues, and or for, whether it's rebelling or resisting or loving or hating, but it's hard to take it on yourself. So I see him needing to see, you know, the sacred in the daily, and to see purpose in what he has to do to step forward, and to be proud of himself for the little steps, because he keeps looking at the top of the mountain and, you know, not figuring out how to get there because he wants to be at the top of the mountain. Meanwhile, he's got a lot of flat road to climb.
Yeah, he's at the gym. He's an extremist. He'll go to the gym and work out every day.
Absolutely extremist.
Looks amazing and thinks
his addiction is that intensity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
His addiction is that intensity. And if you could say, if he can be, you know, take that intensity to the dailiness. You know, he's very binge prone. He's like, he can work 80 hours, no hours, 80 hours, no hours. So he'd be good working in any steady work that is about projects rather than 9 to 5. And is towards a cause he believes in and is taking care of the underdog. And he can begin to see, you know, to begin to put together a montage in himself of authority figures that are dynamic, that he respects.
What kind of work does he do?
He's done a lot of things. I think it's figuring out what he wants to do. He's been a model personal trainer. He's worked in promotion. He's done music stuff. He's studied engineering, music. He's very, very bright and creative, but, you know.
Very, very bright, very creative. Yeah. Just hates getting stuck doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, even eating the same food gets bored really.
Really bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a restlessness. He's born on an eclipse, okay? Born during an eclipse period, because his sun is right there on the south node. And so part of the restlessness also comes from the sun in Aries on the south node. So it's always looking for a new stimulation. And he really needs to kind of find a self-feeding mechanism that helps that. Because that will then help him ground the chart. You know, basically he's got a lot of fire in the chart and not a lot of earth. There's very low earth.
And so, I'm very earthy, it's funny.
Right, well, he'll attract an earth person. You know,
but
very
you
often we
out.
Balance. Yeah, we balance
right.
each other. But he'll pull in the earth person in you. You'll be given the charge of balancing him. Are you low in fire in your chart?
I have Libra. I think I'm low, but I also have Mars in Pisces, so.
Okay. Yeah.
What I think you have to watch out for is being trapped into being practical for him and taking care of the daily and then getting disrespected because you're doing boring, mundane things. So it's important that you keep in track of your own, you know, stay on target with your own intensity and stay on target with what makes you happy. And don't try to ground him. He has to ground himself. You can support that. You can encourage it. But you can't tell him what to do. Absolutely never.
No way.
No. No, actually, when you tell him what to do, he'll do the opposite. He gets very
Absolutely. It's got to come from within. You can encourage him when he's doing it. You can help him, but he has to ground himself.
Yeah. I think he knows that, too. I mean,
He does, but he has trouble
it's
doing it.
It's you that were telling that one to him.
Yeah. Well, because part of it is when he does ground himself, he's like, ugh, you know, I don't like this. You know, it's like, No, he gets really cranky, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the intensity of the workouts are good. Because that's how he's grounding his physical body. So that actually is a good thing for him because he's able to take his body and give it work that it can do, and he can focus on that. But it also is him finding, if we can get him on a spiritual path, that would help a lot, especially with the addictive stuff. And, you know, some people go, oh, that AA, you know, that God, you know, higher than me. It's like, no, he has to have something he actually believes in, right?
Yeah.
If he believes in it, then he can actually accomplish it. And that's part of the trick of his chart is because once he finds something, very often he can get restless with it. And he goes, well, I accomplished this and this is great, but I'm bored with it now. And it's like, well, give him, you know, say, well, what's the next level of depth you can go in it? Or well, how do you take it to the next level? And if he has that kind of challenge, that can help him maybe be a little more stick-to-itiveness. Because the sticking part is hard, too, for him because of all the fire and wanting to keep moving, you know?
Yeah. What's his rising sign, by the way?
We got him as a 24 Sag, born at 11:35 p.m.
And Uranus has been squaring his ascendant, so he's been really shifting his own identity.
Yeah.
It's
But, you know, he's halfway through it. The spring will feel very different. But again, loving the dailiness, creating routines that work for himself, and finding something that has a real sense of purpose and calling to himself. You know, it's not what he does, it's why he's doing it that will make it different about how he feels about his work and therefore about himself.
Yeah, he's hardworking. I mean, he's definitely
very hardworking. No, it's not that. It's more that he binges and stops.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, the binging and stopping is how he gives himself a break. So if he can find something else that would help that can abate. He doesn't have to live in that state. But the binging and stopping is how he breaks free of the routine. That's his time off. It's like, okay, I did the routine, so now I got to do something different. I got to stir it up, mix it up, change it up, and that's okay. Except his, you know, and if he could be in sales or he could be in something where he's got a variety every day in his day, that also helps a lot with this chart because he would be very good at hunting, you know, giving him work where he had to hunt for things, like hunt for business or hunt for clients, because that gives him a sense of competition with himself. And that gives him the ability to go out and find new people that are looking for whatever, you know.
He'd also be fantastic in emergency services as a paramedic or an EMT.
That's so funny you say that because he was thinking about going back to school for that.
Absolutely. I support that 300%. Because he's got compassion and he really wants to be helpful.
Yeah.
And that's part of the hunt, as she said, because you're going out and finding someone who needs you. And you're finding what the solution is, and you're thinking fast on the spot, and it feeds his sense of need for intensity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so funny. You guys are amazing. And because he's been promoting. I mean, he's very helpful to me when it comes to like promoting myself. He comes up with all kinds of solutions.
Well, he's very good at that kind of thing. The thing is finding it, making it work for him.
For himself.
So he gets paid for it, yeah.
Exactly.
Mark,
exactly.
As a fellow Aries, do you have any comments to make on the Aries chart here? How to help an Aries man kind of come into his own?
Well, one of the things he can do is kind of build into his whatever project he's on or whatever day he's going through, build in ways to blow off steam. along the way, even if he doesn't think he needs to. And that'll keep things from building up into, you know, like the big tension that that he ends up running from and just using a lot of energy to get away. He'll be able to stay more with something if he's just building in, letting off steam. You know, and that doesn't even have to be directly in the situation. Just go out and take a fast walk around the block, you know, that kind
right.
of thing. And it'll, it's just that, you know, really think of a, you know, a steam engine. They all have to have a pressure valve. And it just, you know, it just lets off the steam and that's it and keeps everything regulated. So, you know, and you can do that at all levels, like if it's three-month project, then you build it in by the week. If it's a three-hour project, you build it in by the quarter hour, you know.
Oh, building it in.
Yeah, building it into the structure of his days.
Yeah,
right.
Because he's able to stay with things, you know, really well. He has that steadiness, but it steadily builds up tension. And then if he's not letting it off, that then, you know, it gets to where it's just
overwhelming, like you said.
Yeah, and then it's too messy for him and too messy for everyone around him, and, you know, so things pretty quickly fly apart, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, he wonders, well, how did that happen? You know, it wasn't headed that way, and then all of a sudden it was. And then with that Aries energy, you know, his solution is just to get himself out of there at whatever cost. And, you know,
to do what?
To do better.
To get himself out of there. Yeah.
Yeah, get out of there and then hope that next time it won't turn out that way, you know. And he'll always remind himself that, well, my intentions were good. And that's always
right.
true.
But it's about like that, having that sort of structure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah, and see, with the Mars in Pisces, he's not very quick about actually asserting his will. He knows what it is, but he sort of holds back on that. And so people don't read sort of what he's really feeling and what's really driving him. They don't read it, but he reads what is driving other people.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way, but sometimes. Yeah.
Well, that's the Mars in Pisces. It has to have a calm environment for it to verbalize what it wants. And, you know, when you're in the midst of something, it's sometimes hard to say what you want because you're, you know, all stirred up. And you have to really almost let the sand settle for you to see the other side of, oh, well, this could maybe look like this. Oh, okay, that would work. But one reason
why they're so good in emergency services is because when they can't say what they feel, they know what everybody else is feeling.
Right.
And they can often find the words for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Is there anybody else on the line, Ann? Tell him good luck from all of us.
I will. Yeah, he came in, but I just figured I'd keep up with it and let him listen.
And you know, so, Christian, I hope you get to hear the full podcast, and best of luck. You've got a really dynamic chart. We'd love to see you live it to its potential.
Okay.
Conquer the world.
Mm-hmm.
You'd want him with you on the battlefield, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's a warrior.
Absolutely.
Yep.
He's a warrior. Okay, you guys are so great. Thank you. I'll let him listen to tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All righty. All right. We have any other callers out there? 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. You know you have a question. And if you don't, call. So, Mark, did you have any more comments on Elliot and Constantine? The brothers dueling it to the death?
Yeah, right. Not really anything in particular. I think what you guys mentioned is definitely on. You know, they have a lot in common, and that's always a danger, you know.
Because you see yourself in the other one, yeah.
Right.
You're like, I'm going to think
I agree. It's a lot in common. It does feel like that. That's where it feels so related between the two of them. On a good day, it was great. And once it turned, it really went sour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with its yeah. expectations, too, mm-hmm. especially expectations on the part of the mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's hard to be a mentor without the expectations, but you need to look at those, you know, and, mm-hmm. and try to not end up projecting stuff from inside of us onto the other person. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's where it becomes troublesome.
Right.
That type of thing. And, Heather, you had another email in from someone.
Mm-hmm. I do. And if we don't have anybody else on the line, she would love it if we talked about her. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This is from from Tamara, who says that she was born 8/14/65 at 1:30 p.m. in San Francisco. As she said, recently with the recent Neptune transits, I have begun to recognize how much I internalized the message my parents gave me, that what I want didn't matter. Last December, I lost my job, and I'm still unemployed. This has been a tough period, and I'm wondering where to direct my energy as Mars turns direct. Thus, two questions. Said, Mars is her only planet in a cardinal sign, even if it's in its fall in the 12th house. What can I do to tap into its innate energy most effectively, its initiating energy? Should I be looking at the issue not as one of self-determination, but rather of service? And she currently lives on the East Coast, but Jupiter's on the descendant. I've experienced abundance through others. Would there be a more fruitful place for her energy? Now let's focus on her Mars issue, because that will be useful to other people in the audience as well. Anne, what do you have to say?
Well, I think with her chart, because Mars, I've got August 14/65, 1:30. Mars in the 12th mm-hmm. rules the ascendant, rules the Neptune, rules the workhouse, the house of creativity. So I think having a forced idleness actually is a good thing. Not that we like being idle, but I think part of what her Mars needed was time off. Because it's in the 11th house, or in the 9th house now, kind of giving her a focus on her spiritual purpose. It didn't get to 21. So if she got fired in December, like a few months ago, as opposed to December of last year, I would say it was almost to the sun. And it said, no, we have to go into the quiet of the internal world and really give you an opportunity to sit in it. So Mars, when it comes back to the 21, Leo, I think that'll be when she finds her work, because it's Mars, you know, Sun rules the midheaven and Mars rules the sixth. So I think the period of time that she's been in now has been about giving herself permission to tap into who she is, because her chart can get very easily lost. This is interesting. We've had a couple Neptune aspects today. We had the guy Christian before with the Neptune on his Mars. She has the Sun on her Mars. So her lack of knowing what she wanted or where she was going and giving it to other people, you know, that's the Venus Moon opposition and Venus on Pluto and Moon on Saturn. So if I didn't give you what you told me you wanted, you wouldn't love me, Moon Saturn. And if I did give you what I wanted, Virgo Venus, I had to share it, or I had to parcel it or divide it into triangles, or I had to somehow not be able to say what I truly wanted, because when I say what I want, it gets taken away from me. So this chart has a lot of difficulty actually expressing what it wants. Mercury's retrograde on top of it. And so part of what she's been in is in the dark. And so, you know, with Mars and the balsamic approach to her Sun, it's giving her time to be quiet and to say, hopefully she hasn't been beating herself up about all the things she needs to do to find work. But she's been listening to the internal voices, because that Neptune-Saturn trine has had a chance to kind of talk to her. And because she is born in the 60s, she's having a natal excitation of her Saturn-Pluto opposition and her Saturn-Uranus opposition. So this year is really one of the more pivotal years for her in terms of finding what she truly, truly wants to do. And Saturn, about to enter the house of hopes and dreams, says, you know, what is your dream? And I think if we look at that Mars and we say, it's a Pisces Mars, it's in the 12th house, it wants to partner, but every time it partners, it feels it has to sacrifice what it wants. How do you partner when you always feel like you have to lose? Well, you have trouble.
Yeah.
And so giving her permission to sit in the quiet and say, I don't have to lose when I partner, but I do have to be clear about my boundaries, and I do have to do what I want to do for me, not what everybody else wants me to do for them to get the love,
you know,
I want. That's the hard part with this chart.
I agree. I think a chart, you know, because she has a Moon-Saturn conjunction in Pisces, opposed Uranus, Pluto, and Venus in Virgo. So we've got this highly mutable energy.
Yes.
Because she was born in that mid-60s time when Uranus and Pluto were conjunct. But one of the things that I see with a lineup in Uranus, in mutable signs, and I have more Virgo that could sink a battleship in my chart, and I got a wonderful reflection about that when I was 15 and volunteering in a mental hospital, which was pretty crazy because, you know, I could have easily been in one at that point. But I was working in the art department helping people, and I saw that I saw how psychic so many of the people were that were stuck in the locked wards. And they would, you know, one person would start a sentence, the other person in the next room would finish it. Or one issue would be in the drawings of several people. Or just, they didn't know where they began and someone else ended. And I realized that hearing everybody else louder than you hear yourself was really dangerous. That it's okay to hear other people and hear what they need. And I say this because this woman has a real capacity to hear what everybody else needs.
Right.
But when she does that, it makes it harder for her to hear herself.
Right.
And Uranus has been, during this time, squaring all those, you know, dancing on all those mutable energies. And at the moment, her progressed moon is in Scorpio, conjunct Venus, and about to conjunct Neptune. So she's longing for a home, but she has no idea where she belongs.
Right.
And I think you're absolutely right. In May, when her progressed, when Mars conjuncts her Sun again, where it was when she probably lost the job, when it turned retrograde, and now it's going to come back and hit that place again. But her capacity to know what other people need at work, and if she cannot resent it because she knows what she needs and she takes care of herself and stays on track and excited about her own life, and doesn't correct them because she gets anxious with how they are because of all that mutable sign, can get anxious if they're not doing it right, but just be helpful. She can be tremendously helpful. It's that she has to just watch. If she's on track with herself, she won't resent others. The people pick up her energy just as much as she picks up theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And if she can be helpful in a way that she's glad to be helpful rather than be resentful, there's not much she couldn't do. With that loaded ninth house and that Mars hitting her Sun in the ninth, I'd love to see her working with some form of international company or somebody that is interacting with the world at large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've got a very short period of time. Mark, did you have any last questions on that? Comments on that?
No, just she was asking about her Mars, and Mars is a way for to help her deal with a lot of the tensions that build mm-hmm. up in the mutability, and so she does need to use it, and it has to operate through what others need. So she's overly sensitive to what she picks up from others, but she also needs to contribute, and, you know, that's the way through Virgo kind of energy that she needs to use. And I guess we are about out of time. So this is Access Astrology signing off. And look us up at astronyc.com, astronyc.com, Mark Wohl, and Hortley, Heather Roan Robbins. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. Have a wonderful time.
We'll see you all next week. And remember, Mars is stationing. Don't hit anybody, okay?
Yeah.
All right, take care. Bye.
Take care. Good night. Bye-bye. Good night.